Hello, everyone. Welcome to the PR Week, your weekly roundup of everything that matters in the world of PR and communications. I am your host, Brittany Kiefer. I'm the web editor for PR Week. Your normal hosts are out this week. Steve Barrett is in London, and Frank Washcook is on his honeymoon in Jamaica. Woo. So it's ladies' hour. I have with me Bernadette Casey, our executive editor.
Hello, Brittany.
Hi. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation.
We are not regular guests of the podcast, but we made a special appearance for today. And we have Lindsay Stein, our senior reporter for Consumer. How are you, Lindsay?
Great. Happy the sun is shining.
Me too. So what are we going to talk about this week? Well, it was actually a big week for us. We released our global agency business report online, so Bernadette is going to talk about some of the highlights of that. Hopefully, by the time you listen to this, you also have the print issue. We also had our global awards in London and our PR 360 conference, so I'll talk about that. And then Lindsay is going to talk about some of the major consumer marketing stories this week, such as Bud Light and Chipotle. So first up, we released our ABR. And it's the first time it was a global report. So we worked with the UK and Asia on this. We covered agencies around the world in Europe and Asia and ranked the top firms in each region as well as globally. So Bernadette, talk to us about some of the highlights of that and what stood out to you from all of your editing and writing that you did.
Sure, it was a big, tremendous effort by everyone. As a matter of fact, we're just sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on some of the online elements, and we have a digital version going out. We have a smaller PDF, so we're getting this out to as many readers as we can in as many different ways as we can. Like you said, it was our first time partnering with our sister brands in the UK and Asia. So we have something to offer on a number of global fronts, and we've got a lot of comments from even the holding company CEOs. We spoke to Martin Sorrell, Maurice Levy, John Wren, Mike Roth, to sort of get the big picture version of what's happening in the industry. We profiled 59 agencies in the U.S., we talked to the leaders of those agencies about the future, which is definitely an integrated future with a tremendous focus on content creation. No surprise there. But now it's gone to the more formalized stage. Burson has their creative council. Fleischmann Hillard has their Content Works. Weber has their Media Co. So that was a huge, huge topic that was touched upon often. We have about a 7% solid revenue growth across the industry. That goes for the top chains and the smaller chains. And that kind of compares to last year, where some chains were up, some firms were up double digits, whereas others were low single digits. But this year it was kind of a 7% average. And what else do we have? Some of the standouts: Ruder Finn up 24%, Global Strategy Group up 30%, Levix Strategic Communications up 40%. So that was kind of a great year. They had a lot of steam behind them in Q4, and so far 2015's a good year.
Great. Well, you can check all of that out online if you don't get the issue. It's prweek.com/ABR2015. And we also have videos with the top CEOs talking about their years. So there's a lot of extra stuff online that you can check out and see how your agency performed compared with last year. So another big thing that happened this week is we had our second annual PR Week Global Awards. The U.S. awards have obviously been going on for, what, like 15 years, Bernadette?
Yep.
So this is the second time we've done the Global Awards, which recognizes work that really crosses borders and is global campaigns. So last year we had them in Barcelona. This year we had them in London on Tuesday. And that went along with our PR 360 conference. So the big winners at the Global Awards this year were Weber Shandwick. They won the Global Agency of the Year. Also, MSL Group's Like a Girl campaign, which they did with Procter & Gamble's Always brand, was a big winner. They won Campaign of the Year, Global Brand, Healthcare, Product Brand Development, and Global Citizenship. So they swept the awards, which is actually similar to the U.S. awards. They won a lot of categories in March in New York. Also, Weber Shandwick CEO Andy Polansky won the Global Agency PR Pro of the Year. And Ford Europe's VP of Communications, Mark Truby, he won for the in-house category. So you can see the full list of winners online. There's also a digital edition with all the case studies. But it was a great event. Steve said he really enjoyed it, and also the conference, which I think we have some videos online from that too. So congrats to all the winners. So Lindsay, tell us what's happening with Bud Light. I heard some negative things about them earlier this week.
Yeah, so to say it lightly, they missed the mark on their newest part of the Up for Whatever campaign. And what they put on their bottles of beer was the perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night, hashtag Up for Whatever. While they were going for the whole, you know, like, you know, be down for whatever happens, like say yes more, try new things, that did not sit so well, since an alcohol brand and date rape is a very serious subject, and the, you know, no means no thing is like really big. So don't know how that passed through the legal team, because that got a bunch of negative feedback. I've read so many comments from PR and media, and they were really harsh comments, being like, you know, I'm never going to drink Bud Light again, and I can't believe they did this, and all of that. However, they did make a statement. They said that we missed the mark on the new Bud Light bottle, we regret it, and then there was a full statement on their website, on their newsroom, and they also have been giving the statement out to, you know, and they say, obviously, it was meant to be positive and lighthearted. Mm-hmm. It was not meant to be construed the way it was. But since it is an alcohol brand, obviously, problem.
Yeah, it seems pretty insensitive that they didn't think of that, because the issue of rape on campuses has been such a huge issue that people are talking about. And most, you made a good point, Bernadette, about how most alcohol brands are kind of going in with a different tone.
Right, the act responsibly, or drink responsibly, I guess, has been the tone for most of the beer manufacturers, which is a great idea. And you have someone like a Newcastle Brown Ale. They have QR code so that you can get a cab if you've had too much to drink. Yeah. That's a better message rather than the, you know, say, you know, it was a little more, and I didn't actually even sort of take it to that level immediately, but it just struck me as odd as you and, you know, don't, you shouldn't, it's like you abandon common sense.
Right. It doesn't even have to be about rape. It's just the things that people do when they've had too much to drink. Is that what they're encouraging?
Right, that is true.
That's a bad idea.
What's interesting is, so they said in the statement that they made 140 different messages on the bottles. So, like, I don't know if maybe legal didn't read all 140 or what, because the fact that got through really does blow my mind.
And they took that one off, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Bud Light is the nation's best-selling beer. So we'll see if that continues to happen.
So another brand that's in the spotlight this week is Chipotle.
That's right.
I love their guacamole.
I just love Chipotle in general, so I'm probably biased. No, but really, so actually, they started off the week getting a lot of praise in the media. I think it was Monday. Mm-hmm. They announced they're going to be the first fast food company to stop including any GMO products in any of their food. So no genetically modified foods at all. However, throughout the week, they've been getting a lot more negative press, especially on Reddit. And then I thought, you know, maybe it would just end on Reddit. And then Facebook comments on Chipotle's Facebook started to get really, really heated. People are starting to really, like, question this move. And then now it's also being portrayed all over the media. Washington Post did a story, Mother Jones did a story, about the fact that they're kind of capitalizing on fear-mongering, because there are no scientific facts that prove that GMO is bad for you at all. Mm-hmm. But the majority of Americans fear it because they don't know what it means. But there actually are benefits to GMO, like in terms of crops and modifying foods for the poor so they can, you know, have more food. So right now they're saying, you know, they're doing this as more of a PR marketing stunt rather than actually caring about the environment. But, I mean, Chipotle is all about all natural food. I mean, there's a lot of speculation out there right now, and I guess what's hard is, like, there are people saying that the food that they're feeding to their cows and their chickens, that feed specifically, is genetically modified feed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's true or not, because Chipotle hasn't responded. So I think that Chipotle should respond at this point, because to me that is kind of hypocritical if that is the case.
Yeah.
And they're also saying that some of the plants and stuff in particular that they use or whatever are also genetically modified. So even though it's not in the meat itself, it's getting through in some way or another. So yeah, so they're basically saying, like, is this a hypocritical thing? Chipotle hasn't made an answer yet. Mm-hmm. I think they should, especially after seeing how many reports have been posted. So yeah, I'm waiting to see what they'll say on that.
Yeah, we'll have to see. A couple other news items that happened this week. DraftKings is close to naming a new agency. Lindsay did a story on that. And they're pretty close to announcing a winner, right?
Yeah, yeah. A couple weeks, a week or two, I think.
So, in case you don't know, DraftKings is the online fantasy sports business, and I don't know sports, so I don't know how it's different from that.
It's a daily fantasy sports site. So the way Frank told me, Fred, was that you don't have to pick your team for like the season; you could pick it for the day. So I think it's less of a commitment thing, and I actually don't know if money's involved or not. So I'll have to look into that, but.
Yeah, I think you pay per game from what I read.
And Walt Disney just invested a ton of money behind it because they think it's going to be the next big thing, like millions and millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if it gets bigger.
Yeah. Also, Florida Citrus has two RFPs out for really huge PR and branding accounts. Each one is worth about seven figures, so check that out if your agency would be a good fit. And Schwann's just hired Spong.
That's right. I used to be M Booth's client. It's for their consumer business and their home services business. And Spong, Julie Batliner at Spong, their managing director, previously had a working relationship with Mike Smith, who's the head of corporate communications at Schwann's Frozen Foods. So even though there was a review, there was a kind of a relationship there, and they're both Minneapolis-based companies, so mm-hmm. It does kind of make sense.
Cool. Well, I think that's it for our news this week. One item of housekeeping, our 40 under 40 final deadline is this week. So get your entries in if you haven't already. And that's it. We'll see you next week on the PR Week.